verses 1 through 3. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Holy Spirit, be pleased to open up our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from out of the Scriptures. Reveal the Lord Jesus therein. Enable us to glorify our Father in heaven. We pray in the name of the living Christ. Amen. I actually had sent an outline that you could have had, but since you don't have it, I have it before me. In the year 1815, all England was anxiously awaiting the news of the campaign in which the Duke of Wellington opposed Napoleon Bonaparte. This, of course, was long before the days of telegraph or telephone or cell phones or all the contraptions that we have today. Watchers would be stationed along the coast in order to catch signals from sailing vessels. And finally, one watcher saw a ship giving a signal. And the words were, Wellington defeated. Fog closed in. And these two words were relayed to the whole nation. England was depressed and despair. And the slough despond. Wellington had been defeated. However, the fog soon cleared away, and the real message came through. Wellington defeated the enemy. No longer was there sorrow in England. Now there was rejoicing, victory. They were happy. Jesus claimed to be God. He declared he came to seek and to save the lost, to destroy the works of the evil one. At the time came when Jesus was taken by sinful men and cruelly crucified on a cross, he died. Disciples and his followers thought that was an awful state of affairs. They didn't understand it. It was beyond even their imagination. On that day, the sun was blotted out from sight. Darkness was over the whole land. There was an earthquake. Rocks were split. The centurion on guard became frightened. What was happening? All the disciples had fled. It seemed to them the message was, Jesus was defeated. He's defeated. But then as soon as the clouds were rolled away, and the fog lifted, the joyful message was, Jesus defeated the enemy. Jesus arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It was victory day. We serve a living Savior. He's no longer on the cross. The tomb is empty. Resurrection is that great hope that someday the light will consume all darkness. The fog will be lifted. And death will be swallowed up by life. How thankful we should be. Yes, he's alive. But now who's alive? Well, some would say that Elvis Presley's alive. We have documented facts to prove that Elvis died. He could be taken to his gravesite. You could talk to his relatives and some friends who personally knew him. They'll affirm the fact he died. Yet there are many who positively declare that they have seen Elvis and have even spoken to him. They are sure that Elvis is alive. Now we have to ask, which Elvis is alive? There are many Elvises who are traveling around looking like, acting like, and singing like the Elvis who died. Now we do not deny the fact that Elvis had a lot of followers. We don't deny the fact that some think he's still alive. We don't deny the fact that there's some traveling around posing as Elvis. But we do deny the fact that Elvis himself is alive here on this earth, appearing to people. We do deny the fact that Elvis was risen from the dead to the delight of his fans. The King of Rock is dead. And that's a fact. We do affirm the fact that there is someone who was dead, who arose from the dead, and now is very much alive. We can positively declare that he's alive. But we must ask ourselves the question, is there really any more reason to believe that Jesus Christ lives and is alive than to believe that the original Elvis Presley lives? Are there any solid reasons for thinking that Jesus is alive? The earliest message of the Christian church was basically Jesus and the resurrection. Peter and John were arrested because the priests, the temple guard, and the Sadducees were greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus and the resurrection. And of course, the Sadducees were that very liberal group. They didn't believe in a resurrection or angels or demons. That was why they were sad, you see. It's recorded with great power that the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Savior. Now, when Paul was presenting the gospel to the Athenians, who thought, no doubt, they were lovers of wisdom, some were saying, what will this babbler wish to say? Some were saying, he seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities, because Paul was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. In Psalm 10:9, we read, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, of course, we know Paul says also, if Christ had not been risen from the dead, then we have some real problems. We'll really not have a viable living church. What would be the purpose of it? We'd have a false faith. Faith in ourselves, faith in something else. Worthless preaching. It'd be nonsense for me to stand up here and even preach. No hope. And of course, it'd be a false gospel. You've heard enough about false news. It would be false gospel, false news, if Christ really weren't risen from the dead. Why, however, were the apostles willing to face persecution, beatings, jail, and death itself? They faced agony, pain, and suffering because they declared that Jesus was alive. Now, would Elvis' followers be willing to suffer persecution, mockings, beatings, jails, and death itself for a dead man? Would you be willing? Well, let's answer the important question. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Do we have more reasons to believe that Jesus lives than we have to believe that Elvis lives? Do we have reason to expect victorious preaching, a fruitful faith, a rejoicing church? Now, one reason that we know that Jesus is alive is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures concerning Christ. Paul, who had been an unbelieving Pharisee, the Sadducee group, became a Christian after Christ's resurrection and ascension. And this is what he wrote. I deliver to you as of the first importance, primary importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Scripture predicted the birth, life, death, and resurrection of the Messiah. Of course, a lot of it we find even from Isaiah 53, which can give us a lot of information. Although fulfilled prophecy is proof of Christ's resurrection, it's not enough in and of itself to convince people of its truth. Even the disciples, who were aware of the Old Testament prophecies, did not first accept the reality of the resurrection. Listen to what John recorded just after Christ's resurrection. For as yet, they did not understand the scriptures that Christ must rise again from the dead. They just didn't get it. Although the two disciples on the way to Emmaus were confronted with the resurrected Christ and the fact of his resurrection, they still didn't believe it. Jesus reminded them, "Oh, foolish mortals, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary, a necessity, that the Christ suffer these things to enter his glory?" And then beginning from Moses and all the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, he explained to them the things concerning himself. When the two returned to Jerusalem to tell the story, they heard the disciples declare, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." Jesus himself appeared to the disciples and said to them, "These are my words which I spoke while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer, rise again from the dead on the third day." So we need to beg the Lord to open up our minds and our eyes that we may understand his word and that we may understand him and the significance, the primary importance of the resurrection. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. Now, another reason we know that Jesus is alive is the testimony of the Heavenly Father, which is recorded in the Scriptures and testified by the Holy Spirit. Romans 1, we read about the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power, by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here we have the Lord Jesus, incarnate in the flesh, a man, a human being just like the rest of us, thoroughly perfect, but then he's also fully God. This is interesting. This is the only person that we have in the whole universe that's the God-man. There's no one else that fits that particular category or meets those particular qualifications. The God-man. Son of David. Born of the Virgin Mary. But also Son of God. Fully God and fully man. Agrippa, as Paul was standing before him, standing on trial, he tells Agrippa, "For the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers is why I'm on trial here." And then Paul asked a question, "Why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead?" And so he testified, "I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he should be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." And so we need not be ashamed of the gospel. Christ is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, the Jew first, but also to the Gentiles. The Heavenly Father did not see Jesus' body decay. Jesus stayed under the power of death for 3 days, but no longer. God raised him from the dead and thus fulfilled the scriptures. The Father did not allow his Son to see that decay. The Holy Spirit did not let Jesus see the decay. He also had a part in raising Jesus from the dead. And Jesus himself had a part. In other words, all three persons of the Trinity had a part in raising Christ from the dead. And Jesus really was not a martyr. Martyr is forced to give his life. But Jesus was not a martyr. He willingly gave his life. And he told his disciples that. Nobody takes my life from me. I willingly do this. There's a purpose in it. I'm doing it for my sheep. I'm the great shepherd of the sheep. Another reason we know that Jesus is alive is the empty tomb. Have you ever looked at the cross through the empty tomb? It's a question for you to ponder. Have you ever looked at the cross through the empty tomb? Sadness perhaps in one part? Sad because we had a part in putting Christ on that cross. But then happy because he's alive and because he lives, we shall live. John tells us this is what convinced him of the resurrection. John saw that the body was gone. He saw that the strips of linen and the burial cloth that had been wrapped about Jesus' head was gone. He saw the face cloth rolled up in a place by itself. And John declared, I saw and believed. He was convinced. Now, not all were convinced at that time, and not all of this was even convincing to Peter at that time. But he saw and he believed. Didn't convince Thomas. But the only thing missing was the body. The evidence was sufficient for John. Of course, finally, they did all finally believe, even doubting Thomas. Well, God's angels declared that Jesus was alive. Another reason to believe it. Some of the women have gone to the tomb early in the morning. They did not find Jesus' body, but they saw a vision of angels who said that he was alive. There really are angels, special messengers of the Lord. Remember, the angels had said to the women, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And then we remade, then they remembered his words. That convinced them. We human beings have short memories. We don't remember very well. That's why we have to remember the Lord's Supper, because he doesn't want us to forget him. But Paul said we also have got to remember the resurrection. Now, it's interesting, I've been told that in Russia, when an atheist says that he's going to meet someone on Sunday, they don't, in their language, they don't say that. They said, I will meet you on Resurrection Day. Hey, we ought to put that language into our language and call Sunday Resurrection Day and get rid of the word Monday or Sunday. Many were convinced that Jesus was alive when they had a personal encounter with the risen Christ. Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. He presented himself alive, convincing proofs, and over a month, things concerning the kingdom of God. When Mary Magdalene was confronted with the risen Christ, she announced to the disciples, I've seen the Lord. She believed it. The disciples told doubting Thomas, we've seen the Lord. That didn't convince him. But when he saw Christ and Christ appeared to him, you know what he did then? He says, "My Lord and my God." He's convinced. The Apostle Paul's testimony was, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead. Jesus appeared to him last of all, as it were, to one untimely born." He did not come to know Christ until after the resurrection. And when he realized all the harm that he had done to God's people, he felt like he was the chief of sinners. He felt like he was the least of the apostles because of how he had treated God's people. But the Lord showed mercy and grace, saved him, and changed him. Well, we have the testimony of Jesus himself concerning his resurrection. "I'm the first and the last, the living one. Now, yes, I was dead. I don't deny it. But behold, I'm alive forevermore." To the church in Smyrna, he declared, "The first and the last, who was dead and has come to life." Do you believe that? He's come to life. To Martha, they were so sad when their brother had died, thought that Jesus should be there, both Martha and Mary. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died," because they knew that Jesus could raise from the dead. Martha says, "Well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he shall live. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We worship him on resurrection day. He's very much alive. Jesus promised us, "Because I live, you shall also live." Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. What a wonderful Savior we have. Let's pray. How thankful we are, our Father in heaven, that you loved us so much to send Jesus and have called us and adopted us into your family. And how thankful we are, O Lord Jesus, that you've given us the right to be called the children of God. And how thankful we are, O Holy Spirit, that you've given us the new birth, born again, so that we might enter the kingdom, see the kingdom, and be a part of the family of God. So bless us in your ways, that we may continue to believe. And where we may be weak in our faith, as the apostles prayed, "Lord, increase our faith." And so we praise and thank you in the name of Christ. Amen.